Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Health Wealth, and also a new year, of course. We're into 2024 now. So Barry is with me today, and happy new year first off, Barry. Did you have a good new year's?
Happy new year, Ryan. Yes, great to be here, and nice new year. Not too wild. Just spent with family and a few friends, and then had family stuff yesterday, which is something that we always do. Had some really nice beef for dinner, so there was plenty of that going, so it was a good meal to kick off the new year. It was a Greek dish, and there was plenty of it. So,
nice.
That's no different to. Just sets the tone nicely, and everyone's well, and probably later this week get back into my exercise and workouts that I've got planned after a couple of days off. So hope everybody's well and yourself, and looking forward to some great episodes this year for sure.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we got good ones coming up. We've got some good guests coming up. There's one or two big guests hoping to be confirmed, so it's good. And obviously, on our end, we're going to keep getting the education out there for people as well. So I thought, just to start the new year, we'd just ease in with something nice and easy. It's not going to be a long episode, but I just thought we could both kind of just give what our tips would be, you know, our best advice for someone who is going to look to improve their health this year. You know, you should just improve your health. Any time's a good time to improve your health. But obviously we know that beginning of a new year, everyone makes their New Year's resolutions, which most people don't keep. But if you want to improve your health, what I thought we could just give our basic tips on what would be a good way for people to do that. Some basic things they can implement to make sure that they do actually achieve that and don't give up. I think around 85% of people that make New Year's resolutions have already given up on them by the end of January. So, you know, we're looking for actual longevity with this and to make it work long term. So I'll throw it over to you, Barry, first. If you want to give us one, what's a great tip that people can use to implement to start taking control of their health this year?
Yeah, so I was thinking of a couple today, and it really encompasses not just what you're eating and, you know, the health within your body, but also your mindset, your mental health as well, which very much ties in to what you're actually doing day to day, what you are consuming, and what you're spending your time doing. Because often people with, and obviously the mental health aspect space thing is really, really, you know, talked about right now. And obviously the best way to do that is to optimize your nutrition, but it's also to take away things that are not conducive to your mental health as well. Because, you know, your mental health is poor, you're going to end up, a lot of people end up consuming junk and rubbish and carbs, and then they end up, you know, with the lower energy levels. That makes them feel better for a while, but then it just perpetuates and builds up, and they end up getting into a rut, which makes it very difficult for people to get out of. So I think one thing definitely is try to really reduce the amount of scrolling that you do, the mindless scrolling of nonsense, of degeneracy, and just stuff that really doesn't get you anywhere. It has a real effect on your attention span, and before you know it, you've wasted a lot of time. It makes you feel bad about yourself as well, actually. It does lower your self-esteem. So unless it's something that's educational or something that's interesting or something that, you know, you're actually working on, like if you're somebody that wants to learn more about property, for example, then watching, you know, videos of people who are in that space is obviously a good thing, because you're learning more about it. But it's just this misdirected, mindless, time-wasting scrolling that people do of all sorts of nonsense, that is not good for your mental health. And then if it's not good, then that also increases the chances of your diet not being good either. when your diet is good, you're feeling good, then you don't really need to delve into that space at all, because your self-esteem is higher, your energy is higher, you're feeling more confident, and you're actually on your path and purpose. So I would advise people to really reduce the amount of scrolling that they're doing. I would certainly, the other couple of things I would advise is, I think snacking is definitely still a big problem, especially with the availability of that. It's everywhere. And I'm now been in situations where I could easily have had it. I've had it offered to me, and I'm like, no, I'm sticking to 6:30. And it's so easy now because, the feeling of just having that little snack. Well, it's just a little snack, but it does so much more than that. It offsets processes in your body that are not conducive to your health. It breaks your fast, and it creates it obviously a lot of it involves sugar, which is a really big problem. It spikes your sugar, and then you get a sugar dump very quickly. So the snacking is certainly something that I would really advise people to. Not just cut out, but if you do want to have it as a treat for later on, once you consume some healthy, nutritious food. It's a lot easier for your body to deal with, and you're not spiking your insulin as much. So that is one thing. And another thing I would say is for people to be a bit more active in the morning. So something that I'm doing with my brand is specifically a workout. Is a specific morning workout challenge, because working out in the morning, really, it's so beneficial. Even just getting outside for a walk and taking in some fresh air, great for your mental health, great for your body, gets the blood moving, and just sets you up really well for the day. So even if you're not someone that tends to exercise in the morning, or you're having breakfast, try and cut even just a couple of days, cut the breakfast out and go out for a walk or go out for a run. You will feel a lot better. Have some water, and just delay that to later on in the day. And all of these things combined just really does help your overall health and well-being. So they are the ones that I would recommend. Less scrolling, less snacking, and be more active in the morning. And I think all of that will, all combined together, will really help your overall health as well. And obviously with the content of your food, which we continue to discuss, that's obviously a very big subject. But implementing these three things, I think, for me, provides a really good foundation to set up the new year with.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. I agree. I like all three of them. As you say, exercise in the morning has great benefits, and also one of the great benefits is that it doesn't give you any time to come up with excuses, which means you're more likely to do
Exactly.
it. And that's one of the great benefits. I always do exercise in the morning as well, and like you say, you can do it fasted, which is beneficial as well. And then you're set
Every
up
day
for the
I'll do that.
day. As you say, it gives you an energy boost. People think, oh, if I work out, I'll be tired, but no. You work out in the morning, it gives you an energy boost for the day and you feel a lot better. You feel great. So that's a good one. And snacking as well is, that's
Well,
actually.
just on that, but boost your serotonin levels as well, and which helps improve your mood. So the exercise in the morning, it's only going to be a good thing. Sorry,
No,
don't
that's all right.
interjecting.
That's a good point to make. I mean, personally, and I don't know, and I think everyone else would agree, but personally, I've never done an exercise in the morning and afterwards thought, well, I wish I didn't do that. That's ruined my day. Every time afterwards, you feel good. You're like, yeah, I'm glad I've done that, and you feel more energized for the day than if you didn't work out. So definitely, that's a huge one. And if people can start to implement that, that's brilliant. And obviously, in the morning as well, the quality of your workout is going to be better than if you've had a really long day at work and you're tired and then you work out in the evening. The quality of your workout is not going to be as good either to get the benefit. So everything
Right.
points to, obviously, as we say, if the only time you can exercise is the evening, fine, do that. It's better than nothing. But everything says that the morning is better. And then obviously with snacking, we started our 30-day challenge started on Tuesday. well, today recording this, it'll be yesterday once this goes out. But you know, and what the one of our targets on the first week for people is no snacking. That's one of the first things, because it's such a big thing, and people don't realize, you know, when you ask someone to track their food, people underestimate so much, because people just do not remember all the stuff they snack on. You know, we're not concentrating. You snack on this, snack on that, and it's bad. It's really bad for us, as you say. It's interrupted. We're not getting any kind of fasting window. It's raising our blood glucose, our insulin all the time. We're eating food that's absolutely nothing for us. It's empty calories, and then, and yeah, just that will make huge improvements to your health, and help you start to, you know, if you can just only eat at meal times, which is what we encourage people to do on the challenge. Only eat at meal times, no snacking. And that's a good first step, and that will help you. So that's definitely a big thing. And like you said, it becomes so easy once you start doing it. I like snacking's not even, I don't even consider snacking now. I know that I eat at my meal times, and if I'm getting hungry before my meal, then I'm think, well, I'm going to enjoy that meal even more because I'm getting hungry. I don't like snacks are not considered, and it's easy once you get into it. It's a habit, you know, as we say about building habits. And the first one you did as well is a great point, because mental health and physical health go together. And as you say, with the scrolling, I've tried myself to cut down on scrolling as well. I'm on social media a bit because some of it is related to the podcast and to work stuff, but I also find myself scrolling a lot, which I don't need to, and I'm trying to cut that down. Because I noticed as well, I said to my wife recently, I've noticed that if I do spend time scrolling at nothing, I'm a lot more snappy with her and with the kids. I noticed there's a change in my mood, and it's not good. So I've tried to cut down on that, and absolutely, I encourage everyone. You're only going to get benefit from scrolling on your phone less. There's no negative. You're not missing out on anything important. It's only a benefit. So yeah, I think they're all great points. And if anyone's going to implement them, they're going to start their year better. So less scrolling, less snacking, and get your exercise in the morning. That's perfect.
Absolutely.
So the first one I had was to value your health more. So this is just one that I really think is important, because people really don't value their health. And obviously, the more you value
No.
something, the more you're willing to invest time, and if necessary, money into it. And unfortunately, for most people, health is at the bottom of the ladder, and they won't do it. So they
Yes.
come out with their excuses like, I don't have time to exercise. But they have time to scroll on their phone for 3 hours a day, or to watch their favorite program every day. But they don't have time to do a 20, 30-minute workout. So that's because they don't value it. They do have time, they just don't value it enough. So if you can start to value it higher, why don't you remove one of those hours of scrolling and instead exercise? And you don't even have to exercise for a full hour. And then people say, I can't afford it when it comes to financial, but yet they will spend ridiculous amounts of money on just a hobby or something, buying loads of equipment for a hobby. They'll buy expensive coffees, they'll pay for takeaways, they'll buy gadgets that they'll use a couple times and never use again. But when it comes to health, suddenly money's an issue. So it's just that they don't value it enough. So my number one tip would be definitely value your health more, because that is then going to mean that you put more time into it. And it doesn't have to be money. It could be just time that you put in. But definitely value it more, and put more time into your health, because it's worth a lot more. You know, you might have a hobby for a couple of years and then you get bored. You know, a nice coffee lasts for a few minutes. A takeaway is a one-off as well. Like, you know, spending time watching your favorite show doesn't last that long. Your body, your health is what you have for your entire life, and so it needs to be high on your list of values. So that would be my first one.
Great point. Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing what people will put in front of a level of importance, in front of their health, because without your health you can't do anything. And just on that, I think a lot of people just assume that they will be healthy, that they have a right, that is their right. You know, it's not your right, it's you have to earn that right, you know. So And we talk about a lot about the medical system, and it's all there for you. That's okay. They'll sort me out if something goes wrong. It's about taking that responsibility and accountability, especially now with waiting lists absolutely through the roof. You have to take that responsibility and accountability. My health is my responsibility.
Absolutely. That ties in brilliantly as well to my second point, which is educate yourself. Educating yourself is so important. The last couple of years especially have really perfectly illustrated and showed us that, you know, the government or the establishment, the health industry or health organizations are not interested in your health in the slightest. You know, it's about their interests, whatever that is, making money or any other reason. They don't care about your health. The only person who's gonna care about your health is you. And you need to start caring about your health and value it, like the first point. And you need to educate yourself, because if you decide, oh, I'm gonna sort my health out, but you're just going off mainstream guidelines, unfortunately, you're gonna be doing the wrong things because they're not right. And so you need to start questioning everything and saying, is this really good for my health? You know, they've the healthy eating guidelines and things like this have been the same for, you know, 40, 50 years, pretty much similar. And look where health is going. Terrible. So you need to question it and say, is that actually good? And educate yourself. So it ties in with the value that, you know, value your health and put some time into it in educating yourself and finding out how you can actually look after your health. Because as we said, no one's going to come and save you. And it's down to you to take that step and educate yourself and learn how to look after your own health, which is actually pretty easy once you put that groundwork in.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great point.
Yeah, so that's my number two. And then my third one would be to try low carb or carnivore, to give it a go. Because whatever health issues you've got, they improve, you know, massively reducing your carb intake pretty much improves every health condition. So whatever your goal is, whether your goal is just to lose some weight, whether your goal is to improve a health condition, you know, maybe you've got pre-diabetes or diabetes, or you've got Crohn's, or you know, you're heading for serious health issues, give it a try, because it works with everything. Even if you're just looking to get better mental clarity and focus, removing all that rubbish from your diet will help with that. It helps with everything. And I would give it a try because, again, going back to the mainstream, if you listen to the mainstream, you're going to be put off it because they tell you it's dangerous and, you know, cause diabetes and you need your fiber and you need your fruit and veg and your cholesterol might go high. They tell you all these things and they'll put you off. But the thing is that if you try it, you get amazing results. And then you realize that what they're telling you is a lie and they just don't want you to try it. For whatever reasons, again, whether it's because they want to sell you drugs or whatever. But, you know, trying it, you can't argue with real life, which is why I love sharing people's stories and anecdotes. And people say, oh, anecdotes aren't evidence. And, you know, but they have all these studies that can easily be manipulated. You know, the recent one on red meat causing diabetes, terrible study,
Yeah.
you know, absolutely terrible. There's no scientific way that red meat causes diabetes. You know, the study was terrible. They were using fast food, you know, like s sandwiches and pizzas and stuff as red meat, apparently during it. And still there was hardly any association with it, but they manipulated everything. I think the total, the risk of one of the things on the study, I think Zoe Harcombe, she's brilliant. If anyone follows any of her stuff, she did a brilliant takedown of it. So they had a percentage risk of processed meat and a percentage risk of unprocessed meat. And then they had an overall percentage risk. So processed meat was like, say, 19%, and unprocessed was like 15%. So the total then should be 17%, right? In the middle. No, the total was like 21%. So it was higher than both. So it was statistically impossible for it to even be like that. It was a terrible study. But anyway, I'm getting sidetracked, but studies don't mean anything. But if you read a study saying, oh, red meat gives you diabetes, but then you have diabetes, you go on a red meat only diet and you reverse your diabetes, you know, what are you going to believe? What really happened to you, or a random study that could have been manipulated and to produce the results that the people doing it wanted? So I think give it a try. And N equals one is a powerful thing. That's, you know, where it's your situation. You judge it on your situation. People talk about, you know, experiment on themselves and N equals one. And And that's if something works for you, then it works. It doesn't matter what a study tells you. You know, studies, lots of studies tell me that without fiber in my diet, I will get colon cancer. I won't be able to go to the toilet. I won't have bowel movements. I'll be bloated and horrible and sick and everything. But yeah, I've been well over a year and a half with zero fiber in my diet, and my bowel movements are better than they've ever been. So, you know, am I going to believe that study, or am I going to believe my experience? You know, I'm going to believe my experience. So I think my advice for everyone would be try it. You know, try low carb or carnivore, and just even if it's not low carb or carnivore, try things. Don't just hear something saying something so terrible and, oh, okay, I won't even try that. You know, oh, these people got results, but then I heard a study saying that it was bad, so I won't do it. No, if these people got results, maybe it does work. Give it a try yourself and then you'll know. You know, that's how I got deep into this. I just, you know, I began to look into it. I basically followed these three steps. I started to value my health more. I needed to sort it out. I started to educate myself. And then as I went along, I began to try these things. And I kept getting better and better results, and I kept going and going, and then that's where I ended up. So I think if people can do those three things, they can value their health more, they'll then put the time in to educate themselves and then try these things and see whether they actually work, and you're actually going to be pleasantly surprised and get very good results.
Yeah, I love the third one as well. Such a big problem with those just not consuming enough meat. It's in the most bioavailable form for your body to process and extract the nutrition from, and yet you want to deny your body that. It's crazy, you know. Absolutely crazy. So, yeah, I would certainly recommend that absolutely. And we, you know, it's something that I live by day to day, not full carnivore, but certainly I'm not that far away, and I probably will end up going on to it for a time, you know. But I still have small amounts of carbs, and that works for me just now. But at the right time, and everything else is in place, that makes it a lot easier for your body to deal with. But it's reversed so many chronic diseases. Going full carnivore, and again, it doesn't need to be. You don't need to jump right into it in the first week. It can be a gradual thing as well. In fact, your body will most likely adapt to it better if you decide by the end of this month you want to be full carnivore, and then just reduce the day by day as you go. I know what. There's one or two in the challenge that are doing that, and really looking forward to seeing how they get on. But already, even after the first week, you will find yourself feeling a lot better. And just on that one, a real bad one is bread. Bread is such an enemy of health. Even yesterday, somebody mentioned I've cut, sorry, it was at New Year's. I've really cut down on bread and I feel better. I went, well, considering what's in it, it's no surprise. It's it, that that is a real problem. You know, all this wheat is no good for your body, and we go into that in detail and continue to do so. But that is something that should be that sh should only be consumed, even if in at a weekend or a small quantity of it. But it's this whole toast in the morning, every morning. You've dug yourself a massive hole already. So that would be another one that I would encourage. Definitely encourage people to at the very least reduce over a time scale, and you will see the difference.
Yeah, definitely. I like to kind of look at carbohydrates as basically a dial that we can just use. And you know, the more results you need to get, or the quicker you need to get your results, you turn it up and go lower and lower and lower carb, up to, you know, zero carb to get the best results. And then if you're in good health, you can turn the dial back a bit, and you can reintroduce some carbohydrates to your diet and find where you're comfortable. Just get the dial in the right place, and then if in the future something else pops up and you can just turn the dial back up and go back to the zero carb. But you know, I think everyone, as I say, I think low carb, everyone should be around that, you know, not really more than low carb, I think, because our body's just not built to deal with those carbohydrates. And
Yeah, absolutely. And even though we've got into discussions, you know, with others about that, if for those who really want to put on a lot of muscle, that they need carbs as quick energy sources, you know, I understand that, but that's not what we're focused on here. That is a different goal for somebody else. But even at that, you can still put on, if that is your goal, you can still put on lean, good amount of muscle mass, lean muscle mass and size without it. You know, I maintain my muscle mass and low carb, and it works great. So yeah, I do see that. That is, if people what if they have that specific goal, if it's they don't have any, you know, chronic diseases or big health problems, but they really want to put on muscle, and they want to use carbs as quick energy sources. I understand that will work in the short term, but it's not conducive to long term health, and that's what we're about. So, I would regardless, even if that is your goal, there are ways to do it without huge carb intake.
Exactly. And the carbohydrates are only really beneficial for the energy burst. So in terms of building muscle, consuming carbs alongside protein has no difference to the level of protein synthesis as just protein on its own. And in fact, having protein with fat actually benefits, and you'll get better protein synthesis in your muscles. The main reason people go for the carbs is that, you know, yeah, it can give you a little quick energy burst. Also, I mean, the kind of bodybuilding and athletic industry is built on carbs. They, you know, they're obsessed with it. So they it's becoming more common now, but not many people want to not do it. But yeah, it's literally just the energy burst. That's all you might get from it. It doesn't benefit you in terms of building muscle. People think it does because when you consume the carbs, your body stores more water. So your muscles will sometimes look a bit bigger because they've got water in them, but they're not actually any bigger. They're just water, and once the carbs leave, that's going to go. So if you want to actually build your muscles, it's about protein and fat. You want to prioritize for sure. And to be honest, if you were really into your health and fitness and you just wanted that energy boost, you'd be better off taking like some type of I think I can't remember what someone says. Someone I know takes I think it's dextrose maybe, but you just taking like a very small amount of basically almost pure sugar and glucose, just a small amount that would go into your blood and you could use as energy instantly. You don't need to eat like a whole carb meal. You'd be best actually doing that because it will go in your bloodstream, it'll be instantly used, and then it's not going to have so much of a bad effect either. So literally having it just before you work out. But yeah, overall,
Absolutely.
you don't really need the carbs for building muscle or exercising.
No, and that's where the fat becoming fat adapted comes into play. You know, for myself, I work out at least once a day, sometimes twice, and I don't consume anything because I'm burning fat for energy. My body's developed those processes, and I feel great. I feel energized, and you know, the food comes later. So that's something that, you know, that it doesn't come overnight. But if people those who want to get onto that path of being fat adapted, when you finally get there is literally no turning back. It's just an amazing feeling,
Exactly.
and being able to have access to fat to sorry have access to energy throughout the day, or to whether it's till 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock or 6 o'clock, whatever it is, just knowing that your body you'll not suffer an energy dump because your body's developed those processes, you know, through ketosis and autophagy and the things that we talk about, is amazing, and that totally eliminates the need for any carbs. So,
Yeah, exactly. And most people don't ever get fat adapted because they try it for say 3 4 weeks and then they feel like, oh, I can't do as much as on carbs, and they give up. But it takes you more than 12 weeks to properly adapt in terms of athletic performance. It takes you at least 12 weeks to properly adapt. And once you, if you can do 12 weeks of it, you'll find yourself actually at better than what you started. But in between, there is a period where, in terms of explosiveness, you'll have energy throughout the day, but in terms of that real explosive strength, you do feel a little bit of a dip in that time. And a lot of people give up because they want that. They want to be lifting heavier weights because it's, you know, it's like a pride thing almost. And if you can go through that and do, you know, at least 12 weeks or more properly fat adapted, you then don't struggle for that explosive energy anymore. You will get it from the fat, but your body needs time to adjust. So that's another reason why a lot of people give up with it too.
Yeah, absolutely. It does take time. It took me months as well, but I think one of our regular guests, Arcus, lifts really heavy, has maintains really good muscle mass, he's full energy, and he's on a 22-hour a day, I think, fast. So, if you really want to get there, it does take time, but it's very possible, and he proves that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. I think we won't go for too much longer, really. That's been, I think, good tips. I hope good tips for people. It's also just a quick mention. Also, January is World Carnivore Month. So there's no better time to start it. Start of the year, give it a try, and see what happens. And you know, there's plenty of information out there on how best to do it. You can send in questions to us. Unfortunately, the challenge is now closed because it started, but you can get into the next one if you're interested in it. But give it a try. So, you know, for this new year, do less scrolling on your phone, less snacking, more exercise in the morning, value your health, educate yourself, and give low carb or carnivore a try and see what works for you. I think that's pretty much our advice for this year.
Yeah, great. I think it encapsulates everything really nicely, you know, from not only the mental side, but and the exercise side, but the nutrition side as well. And all of these elements, taking small improvements in all of these elements will really, really make a difference. So, yeah, I hope everyone enjoyed that, took some value, and yeah, of course, as we say, get your questions in. If there is any questions, any specific topics you want us to cover, get them in and we will get them on the list.
Absolutely, yeah. And as you said, it is those small changes that really add up to big changes, about making habits and lifestyle changes, and that's what works for the long term. There's lots of people that in January are going to make huge changes which they cannot keep up and will not sustain, and then they'll
Yep.
give up and go back to normal. You're much better off starting to just implement habits, lifestyle, and that's exactly what we encourage, is a change of lifestyle. So hopefully you will find that beneficial and helpful to you. And hopefully everyone has a good new year. Let's have a great January and implement those changes and keep them up for the long term. So thanks again, Barry, for joining me here.
Thanks for
And
having me.
that's all right. No problem. It's always a pleasure. And we will see everyone again next week. Until then, let's get optimal together.